Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Still need to drop 11. Welcome back to another post-game episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, joined with my partner in crime, Terry Cushman Jr. Red Sox winning the series 11-7. Terry, are we back?
We're not back.
We just dropped 11 and 10. We're not back?
I don't think we're back. I mean, you look, this wasn't a great series for our pitching program. Okay. Dobbins. Yeah. No. He gets you through five tonight, which is very, you know, you're not getting that from Bayo, right? Or right. Giolito, if it's at home, or, you know, some other guys, Richard Fitz. So no strikeouts there. Crochet gave up five last night. Not a good series for the Red Sox pitching program. The Yankees just didn't do a very good job kind of putting it together. And then I'm not going to have confidence in the long-term future of this team if Marcelo Meyer is automatically platooned against lefty starters. I'm not going to have faith in the long-term plan. And so it's nice that we won, and I am rooting for the team, as hard as that might be to believe to the haters that tune in just because they love to hear us rage on. But the better the team does, the better the podcast does. But I'm not going to drink the punch after a series like this. I was so mad the last two days, the second the lineup came out and Meyer wasn't in it.
So a couple things. Marcelo Meyer against lefties this year, 1-for-6. You're not even giving him the chance to hit against lefties. Like, that's it. I mean, they're taking into account like what happened in the minors and everything before Boston. Okay, fine. That kind of sucks because you're not really allowing a guy to grow if he doesn't get the reps in. Against righties, he's 7-for-29. He's still hitting under 250. So what, are we just going to have him be a pretty face in the you know, the dugout? Like, what are we doing? So that's one. Number two, before the game started, you got, I think it's Eddie Perez is talking to Aaron Judge about Hunter Dobbins' comments about if the Yankees were the only team to offer me a contract, I'd rather retire than play for the Yankees. If no other team offered me a deal. That's not a good way to start going into game three. You've split the series. Gun to our heads. There we go. We got it in pretty quickly. You're probably not winning game three at Yankee Stadium on a regular basis in New York. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't matter what team you are. It's probably just not going to happen. Two batters into the bottom of the first, I don't think I'd ever been so annoyed at Yankee Stadium as a Red Sox fan. There have been dumb moments, old Yankee Stadium, new Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park, between these two teams. But starting with that, and then Aaron Judge just hitting an absolute tank shot over 430 feet to right field, not a good way to start the game after the way yesterday did. And granted, we ended up winning the game. It still was kind of a surly first inning. You're down 2-0. We have no outs. This team has struggled, albeit the game before, they were able to drop a 10 spot against one of the best teams in the American League. not very happy. It could not have gone worse. On top of that, Meyer's not in the lineup. So it's just one thing after another compounding and continuing to compound. The Red Sox winning continue to give both Craig Breslow and Alex Cora rope. There was a line that a famous comedian, Lewis Black, had used. Like, I gave him a rope, a lot of rope, and then he choked us with it. That's kind of how it's feeling right now. We are giving them rope by winning these games, and I want us to win. I need us to win. Because quick check of the standings, everybody. The Boston Red Sox are not scaring anybody. We're 8.5 games out. And before today's game, we were 9.5 out in the American League East. We're not scaring anybody. So believe me when I tell you, wins need to start coming at a premium here for us, because we're not going to be in a position to be buying players at the deadline if we're getting smoked. And I'm really appreciative of the fact that we won 11-7 in this one. But make no mistake, that does not mean, like you said, that we are back, because I also don't buy it. Like, we were able to drop a 10 spot, an 11 spot, but you allowed 7 runs in back-to-back games. You can't live on that.
No, you can't. And you've got 3 coming up against Tampa. They've won 7 of their last 10, so we're catching them not at the best time. And you're going to have Walker Buehler going in that series. And I'm not even sure how it shakes out after that, if we're going to get Richard Fitz or not. But with Dobbins, he's going to rematch against the Yankees later on in the week. And I bet they're going to come in a little bit more prepared. They're going to put up a lot more runs. Unless Dobbins is the guy who makes the adjustments. I don't know. But I'm not an Andrew Bailey guy. I said recently, it might have been Friday night, when Buehler had his meltdown in game one, only lasted 2 innings against the Yankees, 7 runs. I just, when it comes to the coaches, I want Bailey gone way more than I want Fatsy gone. And I still want Fatsy gone. But if you want to get to some of the good things, though, Rafaela is drawing walks. Christian Campbell has had a couple multi-hit games in the last week. Hit a home run tonight. And those first 2 runs came up because Rafaela drew a walk. And then Campbell crushed one. And then a couple innings later, Narvaez hits a 3-run bomb. And we never looked back after that. So it's nice seeing some of that go, but man, it's going to take a while before this team wins me back.
You know, when's the last time that we had 5 home runs in a game? You know, when's the last time we had 5 against New York in New York? I'd have to look back, because I couldn't tell you. It felt like home run derby. The one person we didn't talk about, though, Trevor Story. Trevor Story, another decent game, another home run. He's done more damage in 2 games so far in the month of June than all of the month of May. Had a 5 RBI game, a 3 RBI game, a home run. So am I going to say that he's coming back around? No, but am I going to say that he's already going to have a better month in June than May? Statistically speaking, it's already happening. The strikeout percentage is a bit lower. There's a little bit more pop in the bat. There's, you know, when all of your guys are hitting 230, 220, 210, that's tough. But if they're all getting a hit in the same inning and there's an opportunity to draw in one, you know, knock in 1 or 2 runs, that will help, because the games cannot continually consist of Rafael Devers, Jaron Duran doing a majority of the damage up top. It's not sustainable. You can't live on that. And, you know, if your top 2 guys get shut down, that's going to put increased pressure on, you know, Toro, who's also been really streaky. He's had really good games, and he's performing better than anybody ever thought. You know, I don't think anyone thought that Toro would be doing this year. I did not think so. And I wouldn't be surprised if a team would be coming and calling about him as a utility guy. He can play first. He can play third. I'm sure if you asked him to play another position, he could too. It's just, yeah. I mean, you mentioned something with Rafaela being, you know, able to draw walks. He was never drawing walks. I mean, I feel like he'd go an entire month and he'd have like two or three for the month. And now he's, you know, hopefully able to build on this, because getting walks is part of the game. When you guys don't draw walks, you hurt the team, especially if you're not getting hits. And I mean, they got 12 today, which is great. 12 hits, 11 runs. Boys did their job today. And Hunter Dobbins, 5 innings, no strikeouts, and he got the win in New York. So impressive.
I'll say this about Dobbins, and I'm pro Dobbins, and I look forward to his starts. Like, he's the most interesting guy in the rotation to me right now. Because who is he? What is he? What's the ceiling? I want to see more. Like, that's how I look at his starts. And he let the greatest hitter in Major League Baseball he didn't let him get to him, but he got crushed by him right away. Put up a 2 spot, and, you know, we're just so used to this. We went through a week where we were giving up at least 5 in the first inning or two. And then he puts up 2, and it's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
But after it happened, he wasn't rattled. He settled in, and it was a lot of pitch to contact type things, and only gave up 4 hits across those 5 innings. So I want to see more. And I think the next start, like I said, I'm expecting him to get thumped next time. I'm not going to lie. That's what I expect. If it doesn't happen, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But I want to see him punch guys out. And I'm just a real pessimist on the Andrew Bailey program when it comes to punch outs.
Well, but real quick on Dobbins, though. Yeah, Dobbins, that's back-to-back appearances now. He's come out. That's 5 innings of work. It's not a quality start, but 5 innings is a lot better than 1+, 2+, 3+. And he's able to minimize the damage. I mean, I don't know many pitchers out there that can allow 3 runs in 5 innings with no strikeouts and not have like the ugliest line on the planet. It felt like it could have been pretty ugly after the first inning, because our ERA is the worst in Major League Baseball in the first inning. It actually went up after the home run. And then, you know, obviously the rest of his appearance only allowed a run. So I'm completely happy with Dobbins, especially when so many names in our starting rotation, instead of taking that step forward and growing and going in the right direction, it's either been a step back, no longer with the team, or on IL. And you can't live on that. So yeah, to your point, Dobbins is probably the more exciting name outside of Garrett Crochet in your rotation right now. He's the only guy that's given you 5 innings.
I forget who, it might have been someone on WEI, but based on some metrics, Dobbins is your second best pitcher right now at the moment.
Yeah, that's sad. That's because he hasn't gotten shelled as a starter. Giolito got knocked around. Bueller got knocked around. I mean, Tanner Houck in his last start way back when that happened, that was his second appearance of allowing 11 runs in the season. He got knocked around. So, yeah, I mean, it's also just, it's factual because he's the only other starter that can give you somewhat legitimate innings. All the other guys, you just don't know what you're going to get. If those other starters gave up 7 and we score 11, the relievers allow another 3 or 4. He got lovely Brennan Bernardino, 3rd straight appearance with a clunker. I don't know who it was that was arguing with me about Brennan Bernardino, but here we go with the Bernardino train. Like, yeah. Get ready, folks. It's not good. And I'm telling you, when he starts throwing too many balls in a row, today he threw 9 strikes and I think like 100 balls is what it felt like. I have to look at his line. He threw 21 total pitches, 9 were strikes. 9 were strikes. Walked 2 more guys, 2 more earned runs on 1 hit in 2/3 of an inning. Can't even get an inning. Everybody was saying, let's get a clean inning for him. He can't even do that right now. You know, like, I'm just not a Bernardino guy.
Well, hang on a second. So let me just check something. Okay, Weissert has actually been used 1 game more than Bernardino, but Bernardino has appeared in 30 games. And I just think the usage is pretty high. I think if it was more normal, you'd probably be, you know, you wouldn't see the swings like that. That's what I'm getting at. But I want to bring up something, though. Alex Cora, before the game, was asked if Roman Anthony could possibly be up at the start of the Rays series or at some point this week. Politically, you know, he was like, he'll be up when he's up. I can't really answer that. And he didn't say no, though, I'll say. And the one thing I'm kind of, I want to get more into him in a second, but the one thing I'm kind of frustrated with is the beat writers never ask him how he feels about Anthony still being down. Like, Alex Cora needs Roman Anthony. And the beat writers just lay down and just don't even go there. And that's frustrating. Right.
Why do you think that is? I think, again, just like the last time you and I chatted, you are allowed to be in there. You can ask certain questions. There are certain things you cannot ask. And there are certain things you cannot even start to tickle.
That's got to be.
Don't tickle those questions. Because why is it that not one of those people has asked those questions? Why? Not one.
So what I was ultimately moving to is I think there is a good chance he could be up this week. And what's the corresponding move? I think it could be Abreu.
I don't know. I mean, Hamilton's been Hamilton. He's not been doing much. His batting averages, whatever. And it's just speed for him. You're just having that elite pinch running speed. But if Roman Anthony can be a bigger game changer than Hamilton, do you just send Hamilton down? Because Willy Abreu will come around. And if you have the choice of having a bat come off the bench, would you rather have Willy or would you rather have David Hamilton?
Well, I just, it doesn't really fit though. Cause I mean, some starter is going to not start, and so that wouldn't be Hamilton.
No,
I mean, what could happen? Maybe let me see if it fits. No, it doesn't fit. I was trying to get Rafaela into the infield, but Campbell's not coming off a second.
No.
Story is hitting over 300 in just the last week and actually drawing some walks,
right?
And then Meyer would play third. I don't know how you do it, really. How do you fit him in? That's a really...
It's tough.
It has to be Abreu. I think it has to be.
And then what happened? So then Abreu, do you then platoon Abreu and have him come in as a bench option? Talk about shattering confidence. I mean, how else do you make it work?
Well, I guess the platoon would have to be Rafaela and Abreu. Because I keep saying that, but who's to say Alex Cora won't platoon Anthony? I mean, Jason was on maybe not even a week ago, and he says, he was looking at the next couple of pitchers, and he's like, lefties, Meyer's not starting. And I was like, he'll probably start, and then what happens? I have no idea.
Well, that's the thing is you're getting the lineups now and some of it just doesn't make any sense. At this point, it's just, there is no, it's nonsensical. Like Red Sox taking 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. Did that make sense? Nope. I thought we were going to lose 2 out of 3 minimum. I didn't think we were going to, you know, get swept guaranteed. And I definitely didn't think we were going to take 2 out of 3 or sweep the Yankees. But I didn't take a potential sweep going against us off the table. Taking 2 out of 3 was a step in the right direction because I said on the last time that you and I discussed and chatted, Red Sox weren't winning 50% of the next 12 games. Because you got, it was New York, Tampa Bay, New York, San Fran, right? In that order? 3-3-3-3, I think. Yeah. So you got the hottest team in the American League East for half those games. The Giants, who are a potential division leader if they weren't in the NL West, I mean, you have to deal with also the Dodgers, the Padres, also doing really well. Diamondbacks, I don't think are going to be that big of a threat anymore now that they lost Corbin Burns for the season. But still, this is, you know, a big surprise for us. I mean, we were able to drop 10 plus back to back. And honestly, I'd have to look to see when the last time was that we hit 10 runs in back to back games, because I couldn't tell you. But it wasn't blowouts. It wasn't 10-0 or 10-1 or 11-0 or 11-1. They were really close games. This game, when you're up, if you have 11 runs, I'm not thinking the closer is going to have to make an appearance. I'm really not. I'm thinking, okay, you guys just really shut this team down. And that just wasn't the case. Like, it took, did Chapman need to come in today? No, probably not. I think we probably would have been able to be unscathed, but man, oh man, if we didn't use Chapman and we ended up needing him and we lost this game, that probably would have been the end of Cora. I think today would have been game, set, match for Alex Cora if they lost and opted not to bring in Chapman when they did.
I was questioning that in the war room, because finally he didn't go to Whitlock for a second inning, which was good. And like I said, you know, I'm a body language guy, and it was a struggle for Whitlock to just get through the inning that he did. And it might've only been 2/3 of an inning. I can't remember, but anyway, so you're looking at what you have left in the eighth, and you're like, okay, so if it's Weissert, who's left for the ninth? If you're not going to pitch Chapman, who's left? So, and at that point, it was only, I think it was a 2-run lead. And then we went off again. Toro hit a home run. You mentioned him earlier. That was a middle fastball on a full count, and he crushed it right down the middle, right down the pipe.
Christian Campbell had that pitch go right down the middle a couple days ago and stared at it. So you still got to hit it.
You do have to hit it, but I'm not a Toro guy, but
I'm with you. But what about this Robert Stock guy? How many more days is he going to be up here for? Because you used 7 relievers, I think, right? Bernardino, Whitlock, Wilson, Kelly, Weissert, Stock, Chapman. You had 7 relievers come in after Hunter Dobbins.
That's
telling.
Yeah.
You had to pull every tool out of the chest in order to get this one done. And it wasn't pretty. Your relievers allowed 4 runs on 6 hits in 4 innings. They struck out, you know, they walked 6 and obviously struck out 6 because Dobbins didn't strike out or walk anybody. I would have been interested to almost see Dobbins pitch another inning if it means not seeing Bernardino, you know, like rest him, because if really we're talking about him being overtaxed, Bernardino's had 3 straight crap appearances. I don't want to see him for a week. I really don't. But unfortunately, what options do you have? You don't have any. That's what sucks. That's what really sucks.
Yeah, I mean, we had the benefit of a couple of decent leads. So, I mean, it wasn't this high pressure situation for most. It's not like we were constantly clinging to a 2-run lead, just waiting to inevitably blow it. You know, the bats did kind of give you some room. I mentioned Toro. Trevor Story was one of the 5 that hit a home run. And so I'm not sure. You know what? Let's get to some guys in the stream. I don't think we give the stream enough love.
Let's do it. Sure.
Yeah. Zach Kelly pitched an uncomfortable inning. Didn't get out of it, actually. I think, that's when Bernardino came in. I can't remember. I've had so much trauma.
Hold on. Say it again.
Who came in after Kelly? What inning?
After Kelly, like, today was Weissert. That was
Weissert came in to clean that up. I think
Weissert
he did.
Came in after okay. Kelly. Yeah.
That was later in the game than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. It was 8th inning.
Yeah. Eric Joseph says, Abreu has to move to the bench. I mean, he kind of is. I mean, the last 2 games, Ref Snyder was obviously going to start. Ref Snyder was pretty quiet for 2 lefties being out there, by the way. But Abreu is just not hitting well at all lately. Let's see. pulling him up right now. Just in the last 2 weeks, he's hitting 195 with a 222 on base. Just not hitting pitchers from either side at this point. So that's another reason I think he could be the guy that goes down for Anthony.
Well, we have we have a couple other. So we have B Cookie writing, Bernardino's arm is going to fall off if they keep abusing him like they do. Yeah, you're right, B Cookie. It's going to happen. That's the problem, is you have starters that can't go long and relievers are going to get hurt. And the fact of the matter is we won this game because we were able to score, you know, 10 plus runs in back-to-back games, but your team still allowed 7 runs or more in each of those games. You can't be expected to score 8 to 10 runs a game. It's not realistic. It's just not. Imagine a team scoring 1,600 runs in a season. That's unheard of. So yeah, the fact of the matter is I'm happy we won. You know, like we don't do well if this team doesn't do well. Like we have to win, but I don't like how we're doing it. It's nerve-wracking. It really is nerve-wracking. 7 relievers to get the win. 3 yesterday? And then I forget about game one, how many they used total.
Well, that was a blowout anyway, because we were buried right away. We came back. I mean, the offense put up 6, but you gave up 7 in the first 2 innings, and we just couldn't reel them all the way in. But we got a hater in the stream.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, he says, let me go up. Things being finicky here.
It's from Gigi over here.
Let's just call him Gigi. He goes, how are you two going to trash this series, crying babies?
Well, you didn't watch the series there, Gigi. It was not fun. It was difficult. And if you watched even before the game started, where they're talking about players who said they didn't want to ever be, and I get it. Like, you're trying to like create a name for yourself. You're trying to like pump yourself up. Like, I get it. I respect it. I personally don't hate it. It just sucked because the optics of that was you saying that and then giving up a 2-run tank. It sucks. Could I pitch? No. Could you pitch? Definitely not. It sucks. I'm happy that he was able to completely wear that 2-run home run and be like, all right, next batter. And that's what he did for 5 innings. He allowed 1 more run. So he did a great job. I'm not saying anything bad about Dobbins, right? It's the fact that we need 7 relievers to get this game done because your relievers can't be trusted, or they're overtaxed, or they're just not good. That's just the case. We're going to be DFAing arms, recalling players all season long, and it's June 8th. It's June 8th, and we are already dealing with taxed arms. That's a problem. You know, there are some teams out there that have over 10 pitchers on IL, and they're still able to make it work. We lose 2 or 3, we're done. We're screwed. We don't have contingency plan backups. Sorry. You know, I'm you know, life's hard. Get a helmet. I'm not here to, like, coddle you. And this podcast has always been very honest. When we win, we're happy. When we lose, it sucks. You know, we don't do this show for you. We do this show because we want to be honest. And believe me, there are days that are great and days that aren't. And while this day was great because we won, there are still some things that are a bit of a problem because those people that could have potentially gotten a day off, didn't happen. It did not happen.
Yeah, and to wrap up, Gigi, obviously this wasn't real life, this series.
No.
We skated and we kind of got away with murder. And we're headed, I think we're at Tampa. I have the matchups up. Let's see, right here. At Tampa's at Fenway. Oh, no.
Correct. That's,
yeah.
And well, then the Yankees are coming to our house too. You know, so we took 2 out of 3 from theirs. If they were to take two out of three from us, we split the series. Okay, now we just need to win three of the next six between, you know, or three of the six rather, between Tampa Bay and San Fran.
Right. So was that just a one game road trip? Didn't we have the Angels before that?
Well, the Angels were before we were. Yeah. We were home for the Angels, away for. Yeah. It was just a one series. Yeah. Three games away.
Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't San Fran, it's Seattle. So it's Seattle, San Francisco, LA. So it's going to be the whole West Coast train starting on the 16th of June. So you're going to have 9 games in Washington and then the next 6 in California. So it's going to be a lot of late nights.
Yeah, that's fine. You and I will be tag teaming some of them. Nick, the voice, latest addition to the crew, will do.
Maybe Gigi will join too.
Gigi seems like the type that would lose sleep just to hear us rail about how.
Maybe. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Life's too short, you know. Like, is this team ever gonna, you know, we're not expecting the team to go 162-0. Like, that's also not a realistic thing, and like, we know that. But here's the thing. Like, this is a team. This is a sport where you have to play 162 times just to start playing the games that matter. That's a fact. This isn't we play 40 games or 30 games like other sports, or 81 games, 82 games like other sports, 17 like another one. Every game matters as far as like those 162 in order to get to those other games. Like, I say they don't matter because you don't win any money for winning 162 games. The playoff games matter. These don't, but they show you what you're going to be looking like for those games that matter. This is what literally shows you if you're supposed to be there. And right now, June 8th, I can't say conclusively the Red Sox should be there, because your relievers shouldn't be pitching 5 or 6 days a week. That shouldn't be the case. And it's becoming the norm, and that shouldn't be happening.
If we sweep the Rays, I'll take a sip of the punch. But that's what's going to have to happen. Will it happen? Probably not. So here we go. Let's get into tomorrow. We are facing, it's Brian Bayo. In a night game, because that definitely matters. He is facing Shane Baz, who might be coming back from Tommy John, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Well, he's been pitching this year.
He has been.
Yeah. But he's never put in a complete season. That's the problem with Shane Baz. And he is, if you look at his picture on ESPN, man, he is one funny looking dude. But
I was just going to say he looks like he was just arrested for running a meth lab, but I was not going to mention that unless you made some sort of an observation.
He's a respectable pitcher. Like, I mean, I remember when he started in the league, he was lethal, but you know, the issue was that he just couldn't stay healthy. And now he is, if you look at his game log, I mean, three runs, five hits, five innings, last appearance before that. 3 runs, 7 hits, 5 2/3. So they're not blowing you away. But, you know, early this year against San Diego, one of the better teams in the league, 4 hits, 7 innings, 6 strikeouts. Did pretty good in San Diego. So, you know, there are going to be those days. Very first game of the season, 6 innings, 7 hits, no runs allowed, 10 punch outs. So he's got strikeout stuff. Early this year against the Red Sox, 11 punch outs, 1 run on 2 hits, 6 innings. So believe me, the magic is there. He can definitely get it done. I want Bayo to be able to be that guy, because for so long it just wasn't the case. And last appearance, 6 innings, over 100 pitches. Thank you. You know, all we want is a quality start. So if Bayo can do another quality start, I think Bayo would just tip Dobbins for the second starter in our rotation that is, you know, that can do damage, because he can strike out guys. And I want Dobbins to start doing that on a regular basis.
I've got a new bar for Bayo. I want to see him complete 4 innings under 70 pitches. Just do that. I'm assuming the runs are going to be down if that happens. And
this is for who?
Bayo.
Okay.
Tomorrow night starter. I mean, he did get to 100, right around 100 pitches last time, like you said. I want to say it was trending really badly, and then he had a couple of fast innings late. So it kind of materialized late into being a decent start. So we'll see. I was wrong about Baz. He did have Tommy John, but it was 2022 or 2023. He never pitched at all in 2023 and then made 14 starts last year. So that was probably the year he had it, actually. So he has been back, like you said. But we'll see. You got Bayo. We'll get into the other games later. But Giolito is pitching at home in this series, which is a concern. He does not pitch well at Fenway. So 600 live viewers at the moment.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to add?
No, that'll do it. Enough out of me.
No, enough out of me too. So that's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.